Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, helping you to find God's calling for your career and to land a fulfilling, well-paid, and impactful position. Join me each week for practical guidance, career motivation, and biblical insight based on Christian values. Hi, friends. It's so good to be here with you today. And today I'm with Eric Stevens, and I'm really excited to get to interview him because he's got a fantastic testimony and some great experience that he can share with you. So before we get started, I'm just going to read his bio really quickly, and then we'll jump into it. So Eric Stevens is an ordained pastor, elder, life coach, podcast host, and founder of Redwood Christian Ministries. He grew up thinking that he wasn't accepted or good enough until in 2010, he came to know the love, acceptance, and saving power of Jesus Christ. His passion is to see others not just come alive in Christ, but to live their life for Christ. He uses his testimony coming out of addiction, depression, and a suicide attempt to tell others about the endless love that Jesus has for them. Gosh, that testimony alone already sparks so much conversation. So let's start with that testimony. First, you know, it sounds like we already have that 1 minute synopsis of your life, but now really jump into your testimony because it really is incredible to hear.
Well, thank you for even having me on. I appreciate it. So this is a huge blessing because, you know, you were on the Rooted in Christ podcast. So thank you for being on my podcast, but thank you for even having me on as a guest. So I'm praying that this episode just blesses and touches all the listeners. So thank you again. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But just to give you a little bit more detail as far as my testimony goes, I grew up on the east side of Cleveland, and I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. My real dad wasn't really around. He didn't want to be around. He was a kingpin in Cleveland, so he was doing all kind of things he had no, wasn't going to win any Father of the Year awards for doing. There's no judgment there on my side. I'm kind of over the lack of him being involved in my life, but the lack of him being involved in my life just is what sparked a lot of the downward spiral that I went on, and my own free will choices as well. So I don't. At this point now, you know, in hindsight, it's like, oh, I did choose to do this. I could have gone another way, but this was the route that I went. I would probably say, you know, I'll keep it at the beginning and just take you all the way through the best of my ability here.
Yeah.
So being raised by my mom, my grandmother, I had a loving home growing up. My grandmother had 10 kids. So seven females, three males. And she was working at the time. And my mom had me when she was, 18. So when she was going back to school, my grandmother, I spent a lot of time with her. So like growing up, like she was my world. And it was interesting because, at that time, and this is just going to give you a sense of where some of the identity issues even started. I was overweight as a kid, so I'm that fat kid going to school, getting picked on, it was, it wasn't the way it is right now. How like that is really like, there's more, I think, awareness and mental awareness and just like the longevity of, I grew up in that era where they say sticks and stones will break your bones and words will never hurt you. That is like one of the biggest lies ever.
Yeah.
Whoever said that needs to be sued for like every penny they own. Cause I was getting picked on for that, but I was also a straight A student at that point in time. And I was growing up in the ghetto. So like, I wasn't out in the streets or anything like that at that point. My mom, my grandma did the best that they could to keep me out of that life. They kept me in a lot of the Catholic schools in that area, which was great. Kids can be mean, and yeah. I didn't help any because I was just trying to, fit in, but I also was still trying to make it. It was always, it was always instilled in me, you don't want to be living in the ghettos and the projects your whole life. So we need you to give it your all in school. So they rolled me pretty hard when it came to my grades. You fast forward a little bit, the Catholic schools that I was going to in Cleveland, when I got ready to go to sixth, seventh and eighth grade, they were all closing down. So that was one thing. It was like, my whole network is about to change of friends that I had. I'm about 11, 12 years old now at this point. My father reaches out. He wants to get together for my birthday. And this is when it really like kicked off. We're on a basketball court and he pushes me down while I'm going up for a rebound or going up for a jump shot or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Basketball was never really my thing. I don't even know what the heck I was doing out there. And he told me, he's like, you don't have any muscles. You're not going to get any girls. What are you doing with your life? You know, you aren't in shape. You know, you're never going to be like me. And I'm sitting on the playground crying for my birthday, right? I think I'm 11 years old. I think I'm 11 years old at the time when this was going on. And you know, we got ready, picked me up at that. Well, I picked myself up. So then we go back to my grandmother's house where I, you know, that's where me and my mom were living at the time. I'm not going to repeat what my grandmother said to him, but I will tell you that was the last interaction I had with my father. everybody in that neighborhood knew not to mess with my grandmother. Okay. So, and I'm just going to leave that right there.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure she won that argument. Wow. Didn't talk to him after that, but that really messed with my, you know, and I said, I'm never going to be like him. Like that was just like, that was, you know, I don't want to be like that. But what I didn't know at the time was I literally started turning into him because of that interaction. Mm-hmm. The very thing that caused me that much pain, I hate it, was the very thing that I ended up turning into. Because when I went to a school in Maple Heights here in Cleveland, Ohio, and you know, I still was struggling to fit in. And it was just like, now you're talking about, you're going through puberty, you're going through, you know, just an adolescent teenager, you're already having identity issues, let alone the fact my dad just told me I wasn't going to amount to anything. Okay.
Wow.
I moved from being in an all black environment to now I'm one of the only black people in this school. Had a teacher whose son actually died because she told him not to go somewhere, told him not to do something, and he went and he never made it back home. So I experienced racism from her, but she also had an issue with men in general. She was just like, it was obviously she favored the girls in the class because she never healed from that traumatic experience. You know, in grade school, the terms of healing and trauma, like the matter of fact, the term is just of therapy and counseling never came to get on the projects of Cleveland. I didn't know anything about that probably to either got to college or got out of college. You know, just mental health, none of that was there. So she had her own wounds and she would take that out on the kids, you know, and it didn't help that we weren't listening either. You know what I mean? Like it didn't help that we were just a bunch of bad kids going through Catholic school. So the identity issues are continuing. The rejection is getting deeper and deeper. And I'm doing things and saying things just to fit in. The music I'm listening to, the clothes I'm wearing, I'm just adapting to whoever is around me. And it's not a positive thing. It's not that like, it's not so much, oh, you can hold a conversation with anyone. It's like, well, if you put me here, I'm going to act like them. If you put me here, I'm going to act like them. You know, I didn't really even know who I was anymore. You get to high school, same thing. But now I've lost all that, you know, that baby fat, so to speak, but now I'm still 5'6" and I'm a string bean. So now I'm getting picked on for that. Cause I went to a Catholic high school and they've got state championship banners all over the place. Well, I'm not athletic. I'm not playing sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
None of this is happening. So I wasn't really accepted there either. And it's because I wasn't being myself. I was trying to be what I thought everybody else wanted, you know, so you're getting, and it wasn't like I was getting physically beat up. It was just more of just verbal and emotional commentary coming my way, mm-hmm. which took deeper root than I thought, because this had been going on since my childhood from my dad. Wow. What's crazy is the love and that my mother and grandmother had for me. It didn't, you think they would have had a heavier weight than it did, but they were outnumbered by all of these other people. So it's just like, man, I'm accepted at home, but I'm not really feel like I'm accepted anywhere else that I'm going. It's like, man, I'm not even really wanted where I'm going. It's like, what the heck is, what is going on here? By the time I graduated high school, I said, I'm not going to college and having 4 more years of this. I only went to college to get a degree, to get a job, so I didn't have to live in the ghetto anymore. I did not go to college to learn and get educated. I went there because I saw college as a way out.
Yeah.
Because they tell you in the community, especially in the black community, look, this is the statistics of a black male. You're either going to end up dead, in jail, have a bunch of kids out of wedlock, whatever the case might be. And it's just like, man, thanks for this, more encouraging. You know what I mean? So it was, I just sat down one day and I'm like, I am not going to have 4 more years of my life where I'm the one getting bullied and picked on and being depressed. I want to have the fun that everybody else is having. And this is the silliest part. And some people laugh at this, but I tell them, like, I grew up watching pro wrestling. I grew up watching these larger
of all things,
but it shaped so much of this situation, because I grew up watching these larger than life characters, these larger than life things. And I'm like, and they would always tell you that there was a piece of each one of them in the character that they created. So you don't have to watch pro wrestling to know who Hulk Hogan is, or Stone Cold Steve Austin, or The Rock, or John Cena, or whoever. Like, you did. I'm like, okay, so these people have created this character and people love them. And then I was like, the music I was listening to, I'm like, okay, well, Jay-Z's popular, Tupac is popular. You know, there's all of these people out here. I can do this. I can literally create a character that everyone is going to accept. The problem is, the character that I created, I knew that I'm like, being the good, this isn't going to work. You know, like, I ended up having to create an image that was never who I was. It was never meant to be that. But once you create this character and this image, you have to live up to it. You know, so I had a lot of nights in college, just drunken nights. We're doing drugs. We're out partying. There were violent altercations. There was all kind of things, because I created this persona and now I had to live up to it.
You couldn't go back.
You couldn't go back, because they're going to call you fake. Now it's like, you know, you talk all this stuff. You said you can drink this or smoke this, or, you know, beat this person up or do whatever. And it's like, what's going to happen when you actually have to come react to, when face to face comes the fact that I now have to live up to this character that I created. And I end up doing a lot of bad things, and I end up hurting a lot of people. And, you know, and I thought I was happy. You know, I thought I was having fun. And I said this a lot, that if you had to pay the price right away for sin, I don't know how much we'd sin. Because I just kept going in deeper and deeper and deeper. And it went from, yeah, you took a couple of shots here and there, to I'm drinking whiskey out of a bottle through a straw. Okay. It went from, you know, smoking a little bit of weed. I'm buying this stuff by the ounce now, you know? And I mean, if you're talking about Ziploc bags full of drugs. Okay. Like, this is not, you're probably going to put a parental advisory on this episode. I'm sorry, in advance.
No, it's part of that's in my testimony too. So it kind of comes with the territory.
You know, and it's just like, so this is now, I've created this image and this lifestyle, and I think it's fun because I'm still trying to be everybody else. You know, this rapper, this actor, this person, that person, you know, I'm not being myself. And I got deeper and deeper.
Did you know at that time that you weren't being yourself, or was it like sort of like unknowing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that I knew in my head that this was just like a gimmick that I created, but it became so ingrained that I almost couldn't separate the actor from the role.
Yeah.
It's like I became this, you know? So in hindsight, yeah, it was definitely not who God called me to be. At all. Graduate college, get a job, you know, and I'm working, but at the same time, like, sometimes I'm leaving work, going home to get high. You know what I mean? Like, it is, I've got the drugs ready to go before work, coming home from lunch, after work. You know what I mean? It was crazy at that point. And fast forward a little bit, my grandmother's health is starting to decline. You know, like I said, my grandmother was my hero. You know, she was my world. She was my everything. Like, that, if you asked me the epitome of like a strong person, she was from an era where being black and being a woman was two strikes against you off the gate. But yeah, she was working two jobs, had 10 kids, and made it work. Wow. And to this day, I don't know how she made it work. You know, and I'm not even going to bother touching that, because I can't even speak to how in the world did you even do that off that kind of salary, even back then, you know? So her health is starting to decline, and she is, you know, she's battling bladder cancer, and it looks like every sign is showing that she's not going to make it. And I probably left this piece out, but I was attending Catholic school, so we have mass on Fridays. But when my mom met my stepfather, we started going to a Baptist church. So I'm going to Catholic mass on Friday and a Baptist church on Sunday. And I knew God. I knew Jesus. I would probably say I had a relationship with Jesus at a young age, of whatever that understanding really is of a young individual, teenager. Like I said, I walked away when I got to college. But something in me was just like, you need to start going back to church again. Mm. And I was like, it's crazy because this was in the midst of my wild days, you know? And I'm like, all right. So I found a church called New Beginnings and started attending. And, you know, I went for a couple weeks, got a new job actually in Lakewood, Ohio, or excuse me. I got an apartment in Lakewood, Ohio, because I had actually got a job at a university in Cleveland. So I moved closer to my job. So that church is out of the picture now, because I'm not about to drive an hour and a half to church.
And even though I was a Baptist church.
So the church that I found, New Beginnings, was actually a non-denominational church. And for some reason, the name just stuck out to me, New Beginnings. It was like, all right, maybe this is something I need. Maybe I need to start over. Mm. You know, moved to Lakewood, Ohio. I'm like, well, I'll look for a new church. I'll find one at some point. Found a church online called New Life Church. Went there once. I'm like, this is good. I could keep coming here. I get the news that week that my grandmother's health is declining quickly. My mom calls me and says, you know, they've given your grandmother a short period of time to live. I'm a mess. I don't know how to process any of my emotions. I have spent 20 something years of my life not being myself. I hadn't cried in so long. You know, I didn't know how to even express myself. So, matter of fact, the only time I did shed tears was when it came to something that would happen to her. So, like I said, I didn't know my identity at this point. I was never accepted. And I took that lack of acceptance and lack of rejection and further buried who I really was supposed to be. So I'm going crazy at this point. I get a phone call from my aunt and she says, look, I don't know who started this rumor, but the whole family says your grandmother's going to die and she's not. She's going to live. All right. So I don't know if I was even sober when I got the phone call from her. Probably not. I can't remember. But what I do know is I went to the bathroom and I just stood there. I just stood there because I was so confused. Like, my mom is telling my grandmother's going to die. My aunt is telling my grandmother's going to live. And this is the person I look up to the most. And I did that thing that all baby Christians do. I did the thing and I said, God, if you're real, I need you to show me right now. I need to know if you're real. I need a sign. I need to know what is about to happen to her. I need to hear it. So I go in the room and I keep praying. Now, mind you, I'm praying after everything else I've been doing. And living in Lakewood, Ohio, if you live anywhere near the train tracks, which doesn't really matter because they're all through the city.
I was going to say, what? That's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it's everywhere. And so you get used to hearing the train. It's not waking you up anymore. Like, it's just white noise in the background. The Lakewood train goes by and I hear it for the first time in a long time. And the train blows its horn 3 times. So loud, I jump out of my skin. And I'm like, okay, my grandmother's going to die in 3 days. And I know you're real. I woke up 3 days later, first phone call, first thing in the morning, she was gone. And I was like, all right, now I really know you're real. Pick up my phone. I have a text message from the head pastor, Robert Kistemaker, at New Life Church saying, I hope everything is going okay. We missed you at church today. Hope you're okay. This man met me one time and knew I wasn't where I was. He met me one time and knew that I was missing shepherd and his sheep. I didn't know that at the time.
That is a shepherd.
I didn't know that at the time. I had no clue. I was, you know, and I said, okay, let's give this church thing a shot. Start going to New Life Church, sitting there. I didn't care about the worship music, and I'm sorry for all my Christian faith. I didn't go there for that. I went there for the word of God to figure out how to live my life. I wanted to know what the Bible said and how I was supposed to live. Like, it was that black and white of a thing for me. I didn't realize that the worship piece, that came for me later. There was something else God had to deal with me on. The whole putting your hands up, the whole people crying, the people shouting, what is wrong with these people? Let's just get to the speaker, please. Let's get to the main event. That was my mentality. So, and came August of 2010, I gave my life to Christ at that point. And I was radically saved. It was, certain things fell off right away. To a point where some of my friends wanted to fight me because I wasn't hanging out with them anymore. And that actually almost happened. Thank goodness that I reached out to a brother in our church who was just like, let's sit down and talk this out before you make the evening news. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, that story in itself is crazy that people will get drunk, wake up hungover, and get mad because you're not sick with them. I was the kind of person, and still kind of am in some case, where when you start pushing me one way, I had enough of getting pushed. I didn't even bother pushing back. I just went the other direction. I'm like, this just isn't worth it. Like, you're not really my friends. Like, I'm telling you that I'm sick. I'm telling you that these addictions are really too much.
Yeah.
I'm spending money on substances that are doing nothing for me. You know, and a huge part of my testimony is that I used to weigh over. I went from being fat to being skinny to being fatter. I was up to 315 pounds. So there was a lot of health issues that I was having too, also affiliated with the lifestyle I was living. I wasn't taking care of myself, you know. So gave my life to Christ in 2010, got radically saved, had to really figure out a new way to live. I couldn't get discipled fast enough. I was rolling. I was running from God. I was running, running towards God. But then, you know, the weight, there was all kind of stuff around me. It was everything around me was based off my old life. Phone numbers, social media pages, friends, habits. Because I didn't let myself develop cognitively and emotionally, because I was so busy being this character that I created, I didn't know who I was or how to deal with anything. So a lot of that stuff, some of that stuff crept back in. But now the veil has been taken off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware. I legitimately felt the weight of my sin so heavy. So I'm trying to figure out a better way to say it, but it was basically like I had one foot in the world and one foot serving Christ. And I felt the weight of that. You know, when I got saved and I still was kept on sinning in a certain capacity, like I literally felt the weight of my sin. The Holy Spirit, it was just like, I was aware of all the damage that I was doing. This led me to sitting on my couch, mile 9mm to my head. And I was ready to take my own life. I was just sitting there stroking my temple with my own gun. And the one of the pastors from my church had reached out to me, and he called me as I was sitting there. And he was kind of laying into me. You know, he was giving me the truth and love, but it was one of those more aggressive conversations about just some of the stuff I was doing. I wasn't really living for the Lord. It was like, you know, you're kind of living a double life here, you know? And it was actually exactly what I needed to hear. I talked to him maybe about a month or so later. I said, "Hey, remember that day you called me?" He was like, "Yeah." I said, "I had my gun to my own head that day. I was going to take my own life that day." He was like, he grabbed me. He was like, "Why didn't you tell me that? I wouldn't have been yelling at you. I wouldn't have been talking to you so aggressively." I'm like, I get the truth and love, but I'm more of a truth kind of guy. You can kind of hit me in the face with it, because I'd rather just hear it straight than to hear, you know, and then the fluffy stuff wouldn't have worked. I needed something real. Things really started to shift at that point. You fast forward a little bit to 2016. The Azusa Conference, and I hope I'm saying that right, came to Cleveland, Ohio, and I rededicated my life to Christ there. It was like, it's time to get serious about this. It's time to pour the bottles of alcohol out in the sink. Mm-hmm. It's time to really, like, I probably had two or three different phone numbers, one or two that I can think of, new social media pages. I had to dive in and put, and I mean, true repentance is to turn away from. We've all heard that, but it was like, what does that newness look like for me?
Yeah.
You know, Andy Stanley has a really good book called Ask It. And it's, what is the wise thing for you to do? That's like the main question in that book. So based off your past experience, your current circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for you to do? Because wisdom outranks right and wrong. It mm-hmm. outranks legal and illegal. So it, for me, it was like, I got to get extreme, because everybody that I talked to had everything that I did not need. I had to get a new phone. I had to block people and then delete their phone number, because I had the drug dealers in my phone. I had to really separate myself from that life, because it was killing me.
Mm.
You know, so it was a process. But after 2016, I saw the ministry that God had for me just slowly start to take off. I saw the plan just slowly take off. You know, I'm talking like getting to lead missions trips. I was able to start preaching. I started to teach more in the anointing and authority of the Holy Spirit, because things just really started to change for me there. In college, I would have people just use my voice to get people to do things I said they would never do. Or, "You've never drank this much, you're going to," or, "You've never mixed this, you're going to," or, "You've never been out this late, you're going to." now, and I didn't know this. I had no idea what Evangelist was at the time. Mm-hmm. Because I was trying to get in shape and lose weight. I'm at the gym now, and I'm talking to people about my conversion experience. I'm talking to people about the church that I'm attending. And one of the first people I ever witnessed to, he's still at New Life Church today. He ended up getting involved in ministry. He met his wife there, and it was just crazy. Like I don't believe I led him to the Lord. I think it was just for him. It was the next step in his journey. You know, I was just that piece to kind of just like water a seed that God had planted for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at his life now, like, this is crazy to me, you know? So I just started using my voice to really glorify God and use what I had to glorify him. By the time I hit my 30s, I became more comfortable in my own skin than ever before. I became so comfortable to a point I'm like, my style may not be for everybody. My testimony may not be for everybody. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because whatever God has for me is for me. And if the spirit in me connects to the spirit in them, then that's a God thing. I'm going to be Eric Stevens. And I feel lighter today than I ever felt. I don't feel like I have to, you know, put on an act or a show. And then, you know, sometimes I catch myself. I'm like, what's the real motivation behind you doing that or saying that? Or, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to look like this or look like that. Just be the person God created you to be. So that's the short version of that.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot in there, you know, and it's important to share all the different pieces of it, because that background is sort of that open door that a lot of times we don't realize that as children, there's these doors that have been opened by folks that, you know, maybe don't realize how much it's hurting us, you know, and how it's going to hurt us in the future.
Wow. I gave the enemy legal ground to operate in my life. You know, I knew Jesus. I knew God. And like, I'm going to college and I'm just about to party this up. I'm about to have a lot of fun over the 4 years. I went to college to sin. That's what I tell people, you know, so I became a professional sinner in college.
You know, you're not alone.
Yeah, so.
You're not alone. So how, like, what's the time period between the time that you came to Christ for the first time and the time when you kind of, I think you said you rededicated your life and you're like, okay, it's time to get serious. Cause I think a lot of us kind of sit in that space for a little bit when we're kind of like one foot in, one foot out, because whether it's ignorance, whether it's baby Christian faith, I don't know what it is, but how long were you in that period?
You're talking 2010 to 2016.
Okay.
And okay. I mean, and I didn't know, like, and the crazy thing is, even in that period of time, I was never happy doing what I was doing. Like I was praying to change. I was literally asking for forgiveness, mm-hmm. but it was an addiction. Mm-hmm. And then that addiction became dependency because I was living that way for so long. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, hindsight, didn't know then what I know now about really just like you, there's ways that you have to cut those ties. Like, I'm praying so differently now that I'm just learning. Even through the podcast that I have, there's some of the guests that I've had come on just talking about healing and deliverance.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
things yeah. now that I wish that I would have known when I first got saved. It's actually shaping a lot of my nonprofit, a lot of things I'm getting ready to do with the outreach ministry at New Life Church. We're developing the ministry, the outreach team, to be a soul winning ministry. So the evangelist is the person who is obviously going to do the equipping. So teaching people how to lead people to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I also need to teach them about healing and deliverance and what that really comes with when you get saved, and just being in a place to catch those people. Okay, you just came to Christ. Let me tell you some stuff that you're really about to face. And yeah. let's talk about some of these things that you may have given the enemy legal ground to operate in. Let's talk about some of these addictions. Let's talk about some of these contracts areas you've allowed the enemy just to have a foothold mm-hmm. in your life. And let's break these bonds and chains right now. You know,
okay, so. Let's just kind of go into that a little bit more, because I feel like there's going to be some folks that are listening that are coming to kind of figure out, okay, how do I get into this new career, right? Because of the nature of the podcast.
Right.
But that, what you just hit on right now, just the fact that, you know, you're saved, and in your mind as a baby Christian, and sometimes, you know, I thought this for a long time, I'm saved. That's the end of that. Right. But it's actually only the beginning, and there's so much that needs to fall off. Like, what would you share with some of our listeners if they're in that in-between space that all of us had been in between, you know, being saved and like really living for God?
Go all in. You know, if especially if you have a testimony similar to ours, you need to go all in, and mm-hmm. you need to get ready to embrace the uncomfortable.
Amen.
Because that your comfort zone in that case is going to be, is always going to want to, your flesh is always going to want to rebel against God. And I tell people this just from a fitness standpoint, like we're born spiritually out of shape because of original sin. Like we are born spiritually out of shape. So we have to get our flesh into shape. Okay. But it's like, it just wants to, it wants to go back to the way that it used to live. And so it's called daily bread for a reason. Mm-hmm. We need to get in the word. True. We need to go to church. True. But we also need to be living it out, because sometimes the best way to learn something is to do it. So, and find someone who can help you do that. Wherever you're trying to go, find someone who can go on that journey with you, who is already where you're trying to get to, because you can't take someone to a place you've never gone. Mm-hmm. You can't take someone to a place you've never been to. So yeah. If I give you the instruction of, hey, you and I are about to walk across the street, and I don't tell you to look both ways, that's because I don't know to look both ways. I've never crossed this street before. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You need someone who's you need someone more spiritually mature to help you along that journey. And I, you know, I don't want to, I guess I'll keep going on this too. Like if you really want to figure out like God's voice, mm-hmm. spend time with God, you know, like spend time doing godly things, spend time doing things that God would do. Mm-hmm. So spend time in church, spend time in his word, spend mm-hmm. time praying, but also because the more and more you spend time doing kingdom things, you're going to know what the kingdom looks like and what the kingdom sounds like. But if you don't know God's voice, there's a quick way to figure it out. If you read, it's not quick, but if you read the word of God, you're going to know, you're going to start to get an idea of what God sounds like. You're going to start to get an idea of what God's character is. When they say that he gives out love, but he is love. Oh, it's not just what he is. It's who he is. You're going to start to see that. So you may not always know the thing that God has for your life. Pick up the Bible and just start reading it, because then you'll at least get an idea. So then you'll start to recognize, yeah. Oh man, that guy just told me that, or she just told me that. That lines up with something I read in James. Then you're going to know. But then you're also going to know, oh, this person just said that. I don't really think that's for me. You know, yeah. I don't really think I need to go back to that. You know, so if you are really struggling in that in-between phase, dig your heels in the same way we would. Like, I mean, think about it. Before, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for myself. Before I got saved, I could always find a way to get drunk or get high.
Oh, yeah.
I would always find a way. Even when I was broke and didn't have a job, living off unemployment, it's like I still had drugs.
It's fast, cheap, and easy. At that point, it's fast, cheap, and easy.
And it's everywhere. And it's readily available, right?
Yeah.
Hustle and grind that hard for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That same hustle that you applied to get high or get drunk, then get high off this spirit. Try this out, because that feeling of just God working through you and speaking to you and you just, you know, living out his call for your life and then being an impact for someone else. There's no feeling like that. So
there's nothing like it.
Nothing. So I think that's what it is that we have to invest in the kingdom the same way we invest in everything else. To know and hear God's voice, read what he's already said. Mm-hmm. So many times now I did this. We're waiting for that big boom in the sky. Like, God, show me a sign. Listen,
yeah.
After a certain period of time, those signs stop, because it's like, all right, you had your milk. It's time to grow up. Okay.
Yeah.
It's time for you to grow. It's like, if you need his, read his word, and then you'll get his voice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's so true how you mentioned that, you know, a lot of the signs and wonders that you see in the Bible, like as you read through it, and what I'll speak for myself, what I've found as I read through the Bible is, at first I read all these signs and wonders, and all these signs and wonders were happening in my life in this radical conversion. I was like, yes, yeah, you know, and then slowly they started to kind of, you know, mellow out. And I'm like, what? I've lost it. Like, that's what I felt like. I've lost it, you know? And as I read more of the word, I see a lot of these signs and wonders are really evangelistic in nature. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it is, it's the milk. It's kind of saying those moments, like you said, God, if you're real, then X, Y, Z, right? And so obviously we're not supposed to test God, but he's merciful and graceful. And he like shows himself to us in those moments. But it's like, now he's like, okay, I've shown myself to you. I need you to trust me without seeing, because after all, that's what faith is. Mm-hmm. But before we move on, I felt like as you were talking, I don't know. I just felt like there's someone out there who's probably like, okay, but what do I read? The Bible's so big. And so I just want to share really quickly some of the best places and let me know if you agree or if you have some other spots. Mm-hmm. But for me, some of the best places I would direct you to is the Sermon on the Mount and mm-hmm. the Book of James. Those two are very similar, so they don't feel like they're contradictory or anything like that for new folks to the Bible. And they also really share the heart of God and sort of encapsulate this this idea of like Old Testament, New Testament without having to actually read the Old Testament. So the Sermon on the Mount and the Book of James. But what about you? What do you think?
So I go old school with it. I think those are both really good. I also tell people, because I was crazy, I'm like, the one thing I needed was wisdom. So I tell people, read a proverb a day. Yes. So there's a proverb for every day of the month, other than February sometimes. So it's okay. But on January 1, read Proverbs 1. January 2, read Proverbs 3. January 2, read Proverbs 2. did I say that right? I think I got it the second time. You guys get it. Okay, you guys get it. But I tell that is going... Proverbs, if you look at the introduction, depending on what kind of Bible you have, it says this is a book of instruction to give the young person wisdom. Mm-hmm. Wisdom will help you not fall into those traps and those snares that you always used to fall into, because honestly, I used to willingly walk into those traps. Mm-hmm. The other advice I would give to someone is so they don't delay their process like I did mine. You can also read 5 Psalms a day, because a proverb and then 5 Psalms will get you through the book of Psalms, I believe, in a month also. If there's Bible scholars listening, do not full one. I'm almost like
150 Psalms.
There we go.
I think 119 is like extremely long. And so you might need to break that one up a little bit.
Yeah. Start that, go to lunch, come back and finish it. You know, I told you I partied in college. I didn't pay attention to school. So in case my math is off, forgive me, y'all. But that's what I would say, because now you're learning wisdom and you're learning how to worship. And then you can also see some, you know, David and how he really, the conversations he had with God in his life. So now you're getting all that too. And then I would just pray before you read the Bible. It could be something. God, enlighten me. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I'm getting ready to read, you know, so.
Amen. So Proverbs, the Psalms, especially to get into, you know, David's relationship with God and the intimacy, the Sermon on the Mount and the Book of James, all great places to start. Okay, so now we're about to get into sort of like the Monday through Friday, you know, like how does this look in our careers? Because I think a lot of folks, especially if they're in that stage, kind of how, you know, we're talking, we come to Christ and we're like, okay, how do we do this? How do we live this life out? And what does it look like? I came to Christ in those moments where it was like, I was in grad school, I was getting my career ready, it was starting to take off. And so I was one person on Sundays, super holy, right? And then Monday through Friday, it was like I was a totally different person. And so what has, like, you know, from your perspective, how has your relationship with Jesus impacted your decisions in that Monday through Friday, whether it be life or career, but just outside of that like holy Sunday hour?
You have to be a Christian and be the church 24/7. It cannot be a Sunday morning thing, because it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. And it won't be authentic. And then you will stumble and you might be a stumbling block for the people, because I didn't know how to interact, because even at work, you know, I was drinking and partying with some of my coworkers. And then when that stopped, I had to figure out how to put boundaries up in those relationships while still working there. Yeah. And that created a lot of awkward moments. It made people not trust me. And I get it, because I looked super suspicious as to like what was going on. You know, you look like you're taking sides and arguments and discussions because you're not doing certain things anymore. You know what I mean? I didn't know who I was and how to live. So what I do now is, I literally just try to be a Christian 24/7 and do my best at it. So I just show people the love of God. Like, for example, there was a young lady who I was working with who was up for a promotion, and I helped her negotiate her salary because I knew they were going to lowball her, and I knew that she didn't have the career experience. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say career experience. She never had the experience of negotiating in the way that they were going to come at her. And I said, I pulled her aside one day and I said, let me just give you some advice. Let me tell you exactly. I said, go Google what the average salary is for this position at institutions this size. And then look at your experience and start to weigh that out. And I'm going to tell you, this is about the range you should be asking for, and don't let them lowball you. Mm-hmm. And of course, they tried to lowball her and she was ready.
Wow.
You know, it's because it's crazy that people are like, oh, we need to, you know, empower women and minorities, and we need diversity and inclusion and all of this stuff. But it's like, let's also pay you $15,000 to $20,000 less than you're worth, but we want to empower you. I'm like, what the, are you serious right now?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it's like, those conversations, those salary conversations that back in the day were like taboo, you know, like you don't talk about salary, but it's so important because whatever is hidden, you know, that's what kind of like festers. It festers and it grows. Okay. So very cool. One of the things that, you know, you have mentioned throughout is kind of hearing God's guidance, right? There's a moment where you kind of get conviction and, mm-hmm. and then you're all in and you hear God's guidance and you follow it. What would you say to someone who's not sure if they can hear, trust, or follow God's guidance?
I touched on this earlier, but I would say plant your feet in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to, if you, one thing you can trust that God is not going to be something that he is not. Mm-hmm. So what I tell people, and this goes back to it, read his word. If you don't know God's voice is all throughout the Bible. So you will be able to recognize God through what he's already spoken while you're waiting for him to speak something to you specifically for your call and your plan, and your call and the plan he has for your life. Mm-hmm. So read what he's already said, and then you'll know when he speaks to you for what he's going to say directly to you about the individual plan he has for you. Because I had to learn not to trust myself. This heart is deceitful. This heart will lie. My feelings will lie. Things change. Like right now I'm sitting here in Cleveland, Ohio, right? Just 2 days ago, it was below 8 degrees. It was negative. It was freezing here. It was crazy. Wow. It's spring here right now. Okay. It's going to be 55 tomorrow. It's going to be 61. It is January. It's basically almost January. So days left here in December.
Yeah.
Supposed to be winter time. My mood and my feelings.
Well, in California, just for the record, in California, right, that is winter time. 60 is winter time in California.
I'm going to pray for them. I don't even want to hear that. Like,
no, they need to pray for us.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. All right. We'll pray for each other. But your feelings do this. They're a pendulum.
Yeah.
They can swing. I love summer, right? So I'm happier when the sun is shining and it's brighter outside, and I'm miserable when it's dark and cold. So in the last 2 days, my mood has just changed, right? Mm-hmm. You know what doesn't change is God, the foundation. The Bible does not change. The word does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he spoke it in the New Testament, if he spoke it in Acts, if he spoke it in Ephesians, if Jesus was speaking the Gospels, start to live those things out. You can literally pick up that book, open it, and do what it says. We complicate it. It really is that simple of a thing. I'm not saying you're not going to face trials and tribulations, but if you pick up that book, open it, read it, and do what it says, you can start to walk in wisdom, and then you'll start to know God's voice, because you're going to get that internal feeling like, that check, that thing, like you got to pay attention to that tension, that thing that doesn't feel right in you when you're getting ready to do something or getting ready to say something. You're getting ready to send that text message. You're like, why am I having hesitation? Maybe you need to look at your heart. Maybe you need to check your motives, you know. Yeah. And when you start, and again, you have to know the word to be able to say these things. When you start praying things like, God, search me and know me. Mm-hmm. You only know to pray that because you read it in his word.
Yeah.
So that's what I tell people. If you don't know the voice of God, I'm going to actually pivot this too. As leaders in the church, we have to teach people how to hear the voice of God for themselves. Mm-hmm. They may come to me for a season, and maybe they're coming to me because I'm the person God put in their path to help disciple them and pour into them. But I do them a disservice if I don't teach them to hear the voice of God for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the disciple making disciples, making disciples. So this is what I tell people. I was having this discussion with someone earlier today. Read God's word and see what he has for you. He'll speak to you. Why would he not? Why would God hide the plan that he has for your life from you after sending Jesus to die for you? That doesn't make sense.
I hope that you're encouraged by this week's episode. In order to continue the work, I need your help.
A free, fast, and really easy way to support me and the Uncommon Career Podcast is to rate and review. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can even do it now while you're listening. You ready? Okay, grab your phone and head to the Uncommon Career Podcast show page. You're going to scroll down, and below the list of episodes, you just tap the 5-star rating. If you have just one more minute, then please also tap write a review and let me and others know which episode or topic impacted you the most. It means the world to me to hear from you, and it also helps others to see that this work is making an impact. Rate and review today and help us move the message forward.
With these decisions, right, there's moments, and I always think, you know, anytime you have a thought or an inclination to go one way or another, and you're wondering, like, is it God? It's usually going to be God, your flesh, the world, or the devil. It's like one of those four. It's always going to be one of those four. There's not really like a neutral space. Very rarely are we actually in a neutral space. And so after, like you said, as you're reading the Bible, like you get to recognize, oh, this is my flesh. Oh, this is, you know, like this is definitely not of God. I don't know if it's the world, the flesh, or the enemy or whatever, but it's not God, you know? So I think that's really important. In your life specifically, what has been the most difficult life or career decision that you've had to follow God on, and how did that work out?
Real quick too, I'll just give you this nugget. If, and this is just in my heart to share, if it's pulling you away from God, it's not of him. Simple.
Amen.
Simple. If it is, and I'm not even talking about being religious, like, oh my goodness, my niece had a birthday and I can't go to church today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if it's causing distance between your relationship with you and God, it's not of him. Mm-hmm. Good things can be distractions.
Yeah.
Good things can stop you from doing great things in the kingdom. There might not be anything wrong with those good things. They just might not be right for you to be doing them. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw that out there. My answer to that question is probably going to be somewhat general, because it's a season I'm even in right now, and it's just wanting to leave situations and he's telling me no. And if I had hair, I'd rip it out. That's what it is. It is just being still and waiting on him to tell me when to move in general, and just waiting for him to open up those doors when I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm in a season right now where God is just pruning me and teaching me a lot of things. And there's just a lot of things I just want to just take my hands and just be like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wait. Did I tell you to move yet? And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, you start negotiating with God. It's like, hey, if you open this door right now, you know, I'll pray every day. You know what I mean? You just start, you know, you just want to, but that's what it is. Yeah. It's, and I know that that's not specific, but sometimes it's just waiting on him to open up the door, because I have had those things where I have taken jobs for titles and money and it blew up in my face. You know, I've had those moments where it's just like I'm making things for my career when really my life's been purchased by Jesus. I've been purchased. It's not my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to be surrendered to him. So sometimes just waiting for God to be God and impatiently waiting as if he's not God. So I know that's general, but that's been the thing. It's just waiting. Because if you don't have a yes or no from God, stand still. Stand still, because you're going to do more damage than not. And just wait on him.
And that's so true. Waiting on him is one of the most difficult things to do, especially when you see like the ocean coming at you. You know what I mean? Like in the Bible, it talks, you know, he's the God of the ocean. He's the God of everything. But when the ocean's coming at you, you have no control over the ocean. So it's like, okay, am I going to trust you or not? And I, you know, as a career coach, you would think that I'd be like, oh, every time make that career move, right? But like you said, if it's not God's will, it is not only a waste of time, you're actually going in the wrong direction now by making a move before he tells you. And so that's one of the most important things. Thank you for sharing that. So with all of this wisdom that you've got from life experiences, from your career, from training other leaders up, from, you know, everything that you're sharing here from ministry, what would you tell your younger professional self if you could go back in time? What career advice might you give?
Sit down and shut up. That's what I would tell him. Because I know how to talk to him. He was hard-headed. I would tell him that, but the lesson I would teach him would be to wait on the Lord. That this, and then I would teach him how to do that. Because I think so many times in the church, and I don't fault people for this. I just don't think they sometimes know any better, or like they don't really, I don't know. I think that sometimes we tell people like, wait on the Lord. It's like, what does that mean? And how do I do it? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I think we get so used to saying these things and they're true, but we need to teach people how to live this out. We need to teach them how to be the church, because not everybody knows what you know, because they don't have your experience, and then teaching people those things. Mm-hmm. So I would tell him to be still and wait, and let me show you how to actively wait on the Lord. While you're waiting on God, go love people. Mm-hmm. You can go help take care of these orphans. You can feed the homeless. You can go and share your testimony with the people. You can be actively while you're waiting. That waiting isn't just a hands folded. I'm not going to do anything and I'm just going to wait on God to open up the sky. It's like, I'm waiting on a new job. Is my resume updated? You know, did somebody proofread this? Mm-hmm. Is my references information updated? These are all things that you can do to actively wait until that door gets open. Yeah. But I would definitely say just sit still, and then I would teach me how to do that. Cause I took a job right after I got married. And I'm like, wow, this money and this title is going to catapult my career, because now I won't ever have to work for this. I won't have to work for anything under this amount ever. And it's only up from here. It's only uphill from here. Mm-hmm. After about 3 months, I was burned out and completely miserable. And I had gained back somewhere between 40 to 60 pounds of the weight that I lost. Mm-hmm. So I was back up to like 280 pounds because of just the stress, depression, stress eating. I'm talking, when I tell you dreaded going to work, I dreaded Sundays. I didn't want to go to work on Monday. That's no way to live. I had a man of God, not at all. And I had a man of God tell me, he's like, look, I get where you're coming from, but you stepped on God's toes. It's God's job to provide for your family. It's God's job to take care of your family. You just have to tune your ear to God and be obedient. So everything I'm saying to your audience right now is stuff that I kind of wish was hammered into me, mm-hmm. you know? So, but then again, I wouldn't have this testimony and probably wouldn't be on this podcast. So
it all happens for a reason.
It all happens for a reason. You know, I tell people my testimony is coming from a lot of places of pain. My wisdom comes from mistakes that I've made. It's not because I'm just sitting on some high mountain and God just speaks to me. You know, it's not, I got knocked off that mountain. I wasn't listening and being obedient. That's what I try to tell people, is like, you know, let me give you this, because this, it's not that it was either not given to me or was given to me and I didn't listen. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's the concept that everyone thinks, okay, I need to get higher salary. And while, you know, it's important to provide for your family, and wherever you work, you want to have, you know, you want to be compensated fairly. You want to be compensated well for the work that you do, but to take a job for the compensation is sort of like saying, it's selling yourself to your work and saying, I'll take you as my job because you pay me more. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter if I like it. Doesn't matter if I'm doing God's will. Take more than half of my daily life and in exchange for this money. And so I agree with you. It's really important to be in the right position.
So I don't know how many people actually do this, but I tell you, you need to pray about where God wants you to work, because God is in the details. He will put you in a place for a specific reason, because we are supposed to be light and salt of the earth, and he sends light into darkness. Mm-hmm. So he may send some people. You know, I'd laugh because of how many, like my love for pro wrestling growing up, but I laugh at how many of them are Christians now, or I found out were Christians later. And I'm like, that's a perfect example of some of the biggest pro wrestlers that I know are serving Jesus. But now you have people who can witness in that locker room. You got NBA players who they're now, because you're in the NBA, you're going to have access to go and share your testimony in a place that I may never get a chance to get to. Mm-hmm. But he sends those people, and you're there for a reason. So pray about where God wants you to work and just surrender to his will. Like, God, what job do you have for me in this season? And he will provide. Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So.
Absolutely not. And he creates you with specific giftings. Right. So he knows your beginning to your end. He creates you with the specific giftings for the people you're supposed to reach. And those people are in a specific location at a specific time. And this is where, if you follow God's guidance on your everyday decisions, you're not going to miss those people, those assignments he's given to you. I love that. So I know you shared a little bit about, you know, how you help that woman kind of fight for her salary and things. And that was one way that you shared Christ. What are some other ways that you might suggest for folks to share the love of Christ in secular professional environments?
I found ways to just love on people. I have found ways to just I haven't had a situation like I can't talk about Jesus at work. I have not necessarily had that, but I don't put on a Jesus t-shirt and walk in there. I like to infiltrate. You know what I mean? I like to infiltrate. You know, I find ways to really just encourage and uplift people. And I want to see everybody up on it. I want to see everybody at their best. So if I'm making $50,000 and you're making $200,000 and I can help you get to where God has what he has for you, I'm content. I'm fine with that. I don't talk to any two people the same way. That's another leadership principle. That's something I do at work. I get to know people on an individual level, and I try to, let me back up. I've learned how to give people the gospel without giving them the gospel. Mm-hmm. So you have to know what Proverbs 5 says to be able to say it in a way that people can understand, where they just won't reject you for quoting Proverbs 5. Mm-hmm. You have to know what James chapter 1 says, where they don't have to kick me out of the room for quoting James chapter 1. I can tell you this without changing the message at all, and just state it in a way that you can understand it, so you're going to hear it and receive it. So I've learned how to talk to people and love on them and help them through certain situations. My job or at the gym when I go to, I find ways to tell them, hey, just in case you know of anyone, my church is doing the Operation Christmas Child. We're going to be sending shoeboxes overseas. If you know anybody who wants to get involved, or we're doing a toy drive, we're going to make sure like 500 kids have a Christmas. If you know somebody who needs to sign up and won't have a Christmas, let me know. You know, I just try to show them these things, not promoting the event. I'm trying to help the need around the world, you know? So just remembering, just walking the way Christ would walk.
That's good.
And just, so, I mean, keeping the Bible in here and keeping the church in here and taking it outward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. And people know of your faith, but it's not that you're putting your faith on them. They just see how you act, and they also happen to know of your faith. They put those two things together. And I think that makes a big impact. Yeah. All right. So we're coming up on, you know, this last question related to the podcast here. So I want you to just mentor us. You are our coach, life coach, career coach, right? What are some final insights or wisdom that you would share with us with regards to following God for your career or life?
You just turned your podcast over to a preacher. We might be here all night, but I'm going to try to keep
Let's
this
concise.
I don't want to do that. I'm not going to keep you that long. I would tell anyone, do not compare yourself to anybody else. Be who God created you to be. And while you're in the process of discovering that, just stick in his word and stick with him. Because comparison only does a few things. It either makes you feel superior or inferior to someone else. And neither one of those things honor God. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. So no one can be you except you. No one can do the very thing that you were created to do except you. It doesn't matter what someone else told you. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not pretty enough. You're not tall enough. You don't run fast enough. Did God say that? What did God tell you about you? Oh, you don't know that? Open up the Bible and he'll show you exactly how he feels about you. No one can be you except you. So that journey that you're on is unique to you. That's how important you are to God, that he made a specific assignment for you. How many people are walking this earth and he made a specific assignment for you that only you can obtain? It doesn't matter if you're a singer and they're a singer. Sing what he told you to sing, and that's where all your blessing is. So your blessings are on the other side of your obedience and your authenticity to the Lord. So just be who he created you to be, because only you can do that. Somebody else is already trying to be somebody else. And I'm telling you, from someone who, I do major gift fundraising for a living, I meet with people who give $1 million or more to a university to help out with scholarships and building renovations. I sit with some of the wealthy, and I've seen some very miserable people who, by the world standards, would have everything that you should have or everything you might want. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I see how miserable and unhappy that they are. All you got to do is turn on the news and you'll see how many celebrities kill themselves on a consistent basis. How many of them are in rehab or addicted to drugs or have all kinds of addictions? Be who you're created to be and let God guide you in your journey. And don't worry about what someone else is doing, because even in the church, if you're sitting in the seat and you see the worship leader or the pastor or the person in front of the camera, you don't know the price that they're paying to be where they are, because the kingdom of God will cost you something. And I'm not saying that be morbid or be scary. It may just cost you, hey, I may not be able to watch as much TV as I used to. I may not I may have to leave the person I'm dating because God told me not to. I may have to turn down the six-figure year job to work where God is telling me to go. You cannot compare yourself to other people. You have to run your race. You have to seek God. You have to knock. You have to be willing to do that for you. So let him do his work in you and just enjoy that journey, because there's nothing I love more now than the weight of not having to be 30 other people. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be God's son, and I'm going to do this walk to the best of my ability.
Amen.
Through Christ. Amen.
Through Christ. Put that
through Christ. Let me throw that in there real quick.
Gosh, that was so good. I mean, we literally could keep going on that. You're right. That was a sermon in there. That was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that.
No problem.
I know there's folks that need to hear that. But I also know there's folks that want to find you on your channels and your website. So tell us a little bit. I know you run Redwood Ministries. So tell us a little bit about that. What's your mission? What do you accomplish? And how do you accomplish that mission? And where can we find you?
All right. So, our link tree is Redwood Christian Ministries. So you can check us out on there, and all of our links are on there through, Facebook, Instagram. They have us on TikTok now. That's not me running that account. I want to thank Verve Studios for doing that, because if it was not, I would not be on there if it wasn't for them. that app scares me. So, but that's where you can find us. A lot of our content is matter of fact, all of our content is on there. So that's the first thing. I'll give you a quick overview. So redwood trees are between 350 and 450 feet tall, but their roots are only 6 feet deep. But these roots are intertwined with one another. These trees literally are intertwined, and they support one another. And if you see them kind of standing in a circle together, when storms come in, they battle storms together. They funnel out these storms. These trees are also their own ecosystem. They nourish and water the area around them. They give life to other animals that live on them, birds, etc. They give life to what's going on around them. If that's not characteristics or metaphor for how Christianity is supposed to be, I don't know what it is. You know, God gave me all of that. He downloaded all that into me. And that's where the name Redwood came from. And that's where the name Redwood Christian Ministries came from, was I look at the church as, why are we not working together more often? If nothing else, why are we not praying for each other? So if you go on the Redwood Instagram page, so it's Redwood CM on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, for example. If you go on there, you're going to see me sharing things from churches and people who I've met personally, who I know that they are putting out the gospel. They are living out the Bible, that the word of God is being preached or facilitated through them. You know, and it's the inspired word of God. It's not being watered down. It's not being, changed to fit somebody's comfort zone. You know, I share stuff from churches all over the United States because I look at Redwood as a central hub for Christianity. You know, if I share something, I'll say this too. I'm a pastor at my church, but I don't always tell people to go to my church. I'm trying to help you figure out what God has for you. And if it's my church, that's great. But if it's a church up the street, please go to the church up the street, because that's where God wants you to be. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep someone in my church when God is telling them to go somewhere else, because that is just disobedience all the way around. You know, I don't want to do that to somebody. So, Redwood are individual services. I go around to churches and I help them train up their leaders. I help churches develop, community outreach programs and departments based on soul winning, healing, and deliverance. I do one-on-one life coaching, and I also do guest speaking. So anybody's looking for a guest speaker, call me, because my calendar is open in 2023 right now. So that's the services. We are also getting ready to dive into really supporting orphans and widows through some of our donations, and some of the things that people are, we got some other things coming up with that. So I'll share more about that when that news becomes a little bit more concrete. Mm-hmm. One of the other things we're doing is in August of 2023, we're going on a missions trip to New Orleans. We're going to partner with Ravens Ministries International, and we're going to go do street evangelism on Bourbon Street. We are going to also do, we're going to feed the homeless and help the needy, but we're going to be witnessing them as well. We're going to go on some of the schools and teach and help tutor. We're going to help repair and rebuild some of their neighborhoods. So that trip is actually only going to cost $28 a night, and it includes two meals. So if anybody wants to join us on that, please let me know. So, our mission is to inspire followers of Jesus who inspire others to follow Jesus. But the vision is to be the church. So it's to take everything that you and I talked about and take it to the streets, take it to the boardroom, take it to your workplace, take it to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. It is to be the church. It is to be alive and a living vessel for Christ. Mm. And, you know, they should know that we're Christians without us even having to tell them. They should know there's something different. So that's a little bit about Redwood and where all that came from. But yeah, check us out. I have a podcast that drops every Monday called the Rooted in Christ podcast. You know, I think you were a guest on there, and I think that was, you know, a really good episode, and I think they should check that out.
I think they should check out all your episodes. There's one I listened to just a week ago. I mean, amazing. Just listen to the Rooted in Christ podcast. It is really good, for real.
It's God inspired, because I had no intention of starting this nonprofit. I had no intention of being a podcast host, but God had other plans for me.
There you go.
So
that's awesome. Wow. Okay. Well, remember, Philip, his speaking calendar for 2023, you can see him speaking at all kinds of events. If you head over to his Instagram, I know they're there, and I believe they're on sort of YouTube if they want to see you speak, right?
We also have a YouTube channel. Yeah, we do. We are on the podcast, and all the stuff that we post is on every major platform. So it is out there. Now Spotify, for example, there's just the audio, but the videos are all up on YouTube. So
Okay. Sweet. All right. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on the show. This was awesome. I know there's so many golden nuggets that folks are getting, and just so much inspiration for their life, their walk with God, and their career. So thanks again. And I guess we'll wrap it up here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Absolutely. So everyone, have a great rest of your day. Know that we love you. We're praying for you, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening. You came to the right place if you're seeking career direction, are ready to launch your career, if you're looking to change positions, or you want to secure the best offer for your next role. And I've created some resources just for you to help you along the way. First, hear his voice with the 5 steps to God's will for your career. Second, organize your career search. I've got a career transition checklist with 7 career phases and over 30 bite-sized strategies for you to check off along the way. Or grab the Bible-based Mindset Fix. It's a collection of scripture to help you apply truth to negative thoughts so that you can get unstuck and go after your position. Finally, if you have a question that hasn't been answered, then send it in. Email me your question, and not only will I answer it, but I'll also give you a shout out on the episode as well. Again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.